Extend Christian greetings to each one gathered here this morning. I've been encouraged as we went through the Sunday school hour and the songs and the devotions as well. And much we could say about it, but we'll leave that. And my message this morning, I'm pondering about what's going to be on Thursday of this week. I've heard, I was keeping my ears tuned a little bit this morning to that, and I heard many times people saying thank you or thanking God for things, and in prayers we often thank God for a lot of things. And you know, if I'd open it up for what are you thankful for this morning, there'd probably be a whole list that you'd give of things you're thankful for. And I trust that you have that in your life and that you experience that not just on this week or as we look at this week, but you experience it every day of your life. To be a thankful person. If you're, I don't know what your personality is. I guess I'll say it that way. I don't know what your personality is. Sometimes we can be a optimistic personality where we just are on the outlook for the positive things in life, and people with that type of personality, I wonder if there's anything that can ever get them down. They're always looking for the positive. Well, I have the dose of the other side of it, and that's the negative personality, and just a little bit pessimist sometimes. And it's something I have to deal with, and I think everyone does at some point in the time in their life. And I say that because I think sometimes that has a bearing on when we come to life in general, and when we look at life and we think about being thankful, it's hard to be a pessimist and be thankful. I don't know if you find it that way. There's times where we can be a pessimist about life. We can be thinking about negative things in life, but we still can give that list of things we're thankful for. Oh, yes, we still have them. This morning, I would like to challenge us that there's more to life, and even in the negative things of life, let's look for the positive in it, and let's be thankful for it. I believe a thankful person really does think about the positive, and that's what is taking the negative situation and trying to look for the positive in it. So why does Thanksgiving seem so hard at times then? Why? Well, because I think that's Satan would like to have us be negative about things. Yes, there's things that do affect us negatively. There's things that we feel negative emotions about. But can we see God working through it all? And that's kind of the thrust of the message this morning as we ponder this message. Can I see God through it all, through life? 1 Thessalonians 5:18 has this verse. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So we go through the message. I want you to ponder that verse. In everything give thanks. Is there anything left out of everything? Everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And so when we think about God's will, and as he works with us in life, and as he leads us through life, when the negative comes, can we say, God, what's your will for me? It's going to affect our outlook on life. It's going to affect whether we're thankful or not. And so may we think about that. As we ponder it and everything, give thanks. I'd like to look at an Old Testament passage this morning. I'd like to look at a man that related to trials in life. And I would like to say that this book that I'm looking at this morning ends with a positive note to it. But I don't find that in my Bible. The man I'm looking at this morning is Jonah. I'd like to look at Jonah this morning and ponder him and his life. As he was called a man, a prophet, called to go and preach to the people of Nineveh. Why couldn't Jonah look at the positive about the situation? In chapter 1 of Jonah, chapter 1, we have him, God's word coming to him, and I don't know how that came to him totally, but it says, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, go to Nineveh. I don't think there was, should have been any doubt in this man's call. I don't think there's any reason to question it. Because he was strong enough, the call was strong enough to him that he knew that it was either go or flee. He knew that it was either follow God's call and cry to him, or to the his God's command to him to go, or else to flee. And he chose to flee instead. We have in verse 3, as chapter 1, Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish. Flee from the presence of the Lord. Now, I hope you children, if I asked you, can you hide from God, you would say no, because you've heard this story many times. And keep believing that, because that's very true. You cannot hide from God. God knows everything. He sees everything. But sometimes we as believers today, I think sometimes fall into the same thing as what Jonah. Jonah, a grown-up man, said, I'm going to flee from God. And we forget that very simple thought that we teach our children. Our children know that you cannot hide from God and you cannot flee from God. God knows exactly where you are. So Jonah is called to go to Nineveh. He says, no, I'm going to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Found a ship going to Joppa. Found a ship going to Tarshish. Verse 3, and he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And verse 4 we have where God starts working in the situation. God sent a great sea wind into the sea. There was a mighty tempest in the sea so that the ship was like to be broken. People in the boat were afraid, scared. These were sailors. These were people accustomed to this, to the wind and the sea, the mighty tempest. But there was something different about this, and these men knew it. They knew of themselves they were not able to. And so they come down, and oh, here's this man down in the side of the ship, and he lay fast asleep, and that was Jonah. Verse 5. Shipmaster came to him and said unto him, oh, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we may perish not. And they said every one to his fellow, come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Do you think it hit Jonah? I can't run from God. I believe it did. Jonah knew that, I believe, before, even in when he was up there in verse 3. He knew that. But he chose to run away because he did not want to follow God to what God had called him to. In fear, he was running. He was running. He was called to go to Nineveh. But he fled from God. These people called out. And they realized that there was something else happening here. Verse 7. Let's read this chapter 1, verse 7. And they then said every one to his fellow, come and let us cast lots. These are the people in the ship there, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou, and what is thy country, and of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then that said they unto him, what shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee. Let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Chapter 2, we come into this account. Jonah is in that belly of the fish 3 days and three nights, and Jonah's praying to the Lord. And this is his prayer to the Lord, and from chapter 2, verse 1, and he's in the fish's belly, he's praying to the Lord, and he's cried out by reason of his affliction in verse 2, out of that belly. And he knew God heard his voice in verse 2. He knew it. And he talks about the deep midst of the sea, the floods, the billows, the waves. He knew where he was. He knew he was in that fish, going down into the water. I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. When I hear that in his prayer, I see Jonah knowing that only through God is the only answer for this. The only answer for the trials that were brought his way because of his running from the Lord. Verse 9, though, as he's praying there in that fish. But I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. He prayed that prayer, and the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Verse following, I don't know if it happened immediately after that or not. But I like to think that there was something in that voice of thanksgiving that he prayed, as he was praying to the Lord, out of that fish, that he realized that there's something that he needs to be thankful for, what the circumstance that God has spared his life at this point. I have a question for you this morning, and this is the title of the message. Are you thankful for the fish? Are you thankful for the fish? And I'm looking at the fish as a trial that was in Jonah's life, a trial that he was faced with because of something that he had done in life that brought on the circumstances that God had saved him from that being drowned in that sea. Even if it was the drowning that he maybe desired. But God had to work for him. And he had to face Nineveh. And God wanted him to go there. And running away wasn't helping him. And the fish was his lifesaver. That fish that God had made. Jonah found himself in trouble. He was in danger. Oftentimes in life, we find that thanksgiving follows when we face danger in our life, when we face circumstances and we are delivered from them. Maybe you have a close call on the road. You think about it. Are you thankful for it usually? I am. When it all works out, you say, thank you, Lord. I believe Jonah was at that place here. But I believe it's more than that. I believe it needs to be even when the trials are going hard for us, when life is tough. But I believe Jonah had a little bit of a negative outlook on life. Verse 10 of chapter 2, there the fish vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. God's word's still there for him. Jonah. Go to Nineveh. I want you to go there and preach it. The preaching that I bid thee. Verse 3 of chapter 3. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried, said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. What a salvation for those people there. The king heard about it. He rose from his throne. He proclaimed and published it through Nineveh that there everyone was to put on sackcloth and ashes, turn to God, and repent, that we perish not. Verse 10, and God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said he would do unto them, and he did it not. My thought to you this morning is this. If Jonah, as a prophet and preacher, shouldn't he have been the most happy man? Here was these people in Nineveh. They repented. They turned to God. And God said, I'm not going to destroy them. I'm going to give them grace. But in chapter 4, we find the opposite. Here's this man, Jonah, preaching to these people. And he said they're going to be destroyed. And God turned from that. And God repented of that evil. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God, and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. What a statement. God had just showed him mercy. God had just showed him grace in saving his life. What about these people here? And he couldn't see that. God questions Jonah in verse 4. Then said the Lord, dost thou well to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth, and sat under it in the shadow, till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. But God prepared a worm when the morning arose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. And it came to pass when the sun did rise that God prepared a behemoth east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted and wished in himself to die, and said, it is better for me to die than to live. And God said to Jonah, dost thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither mayst it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons, which cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? And the story of Jonah stops right there. God reasoning with Jonah. When Jonah's angry at the Lord for the circumstances that came in his life, for things he was facing in life. A man that should have been thankful. A man that should have looked past the gourd, should have looked past the worm, should have looked past the east wind, and said, God's still working his will out, and I can be thankful for God for leading me through. Why does this happen in life? Have you ever felt yourself in the same place as Jonah? Where you find yourself facing trials in life, the negative things in life, and you start to get pulled down, and you start to feel discouraged, and you start to feel negative about all of life, and you fail to see the positive, and you fail to be thankful. There is so much to be thankful for in life. There is. Can we look past circumstances? Can we look past them and see God working his will out in your life and in my life? And so we're going to leave the Old Testament now. Let's just continue to ponder Jonah and his relating to life and how the negative things in life and how we're going to maybe look a little more, or I want to get to the point a little more of why I feel that that Jonah experienced it the way he did, and why Jonah ends so much, maybe stops there. But there's something that follows through that, and we will get to that eventually. But you can turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul is writing here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. He's writing to the Corinthians. And I find some interesting verses there. We're not going to read them, the first part. Paul's vision there, vision and revelation. But we're going to break in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. Paul says this, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh." Did you notice what I'm talking about? There's a trial in his life. There's something that is not what Paul would like it to be. There's a thorn in his flesh. Let's keep reading verse 7. "The messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." In trials of life, you will find that God's grace is sufficient for the trial. Just the same as it was here to Paul, as he asked God to remove this thorn in the flesh from him, God said to him, "My grace is sufficient for thee." It's enough, it's plenty. What is grace? Grace, the unmerited favor of God, God's redemption at Christ's expense. It's there to help you through. When you ponder grace, what do you and I really deserve from the almighty hand of God? What do we deserve? We deserve death. We deserve destruction. But instead, he sent his son and he holds out grace to you and I. For something we don't deserve. We don't deserve this grace, but he gives it freely. Because we are sinners, and we deserve death, but he holds out grace. He holds out life to us. Our sins can be washed away. And so, when you think about trials in life, these thorns in the flesh, these trials that where we are maybe led into circumstances where we don't want to be, we don't want to go to Tarshish. We don't want to teach Sunday school. You put whatever it is there that you face in life. God can be there. He can give you the strength. His grace is there for you, no matter what the trial that you face in life. Whether it's something God is asking of you to do and you don't want to do it, God, as you walk with God, he will carry you through the trial of whatever he's asking of you. We face many trials in life. And maybe some of our trials are ones that people can't see on the outside. Maybe it's a physical trial. Maybe it's a mental struggle we have. Maybe it's a spiritual battle that we're facing. Trials of life. And we are there fighting them, striving to overcome them. God's grace is there for those trials. He's there to help you. He has the strength to help you through those trials. Are you thankful for his help? Or are you going to just keep in defeat and run away from it. Paul had trials in his life, same as you and I. He had this thorn in the flesh. Paul, a man that could write many letters, a powerful man in the church, he had this thorn in the flesh. The messenger of Satan to buffet me. Why? This is what Paul says, lest I should be exalted above measure. He realized that God maybe gave him this trial in his life so he doesn't become proud. So he could get another view of God. So he could see God's grace working out in his life. So he could learn to be thankful in the trials. Do you see the difference between Paul and Jonah? Paul starts looking through it, through these trials that he's facing, and he's saying, you know what, I'm glad they're there for me. Because God's will is that this thorn is there, this trial is there in my life. God's will is that it's there. And he has it there for a purpose in my life. Therefore, I will take pleasures in these infirmities. I will take pleasures in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution. Is any one of those enjoyable? I have never found it that way. But Paul has a different vision. Jonah looks at it and says, I don't deserve this. And that's right, maybe. But we don't deserve. Remember what we deserve? We don't deserve anything. We deserve death. We don't know what Paul's thorn in the flesh was. We can probably, from these wording, infer that it was a physical infirmity. Possibly painful to him. Possibly experienced some pain. Some people believe maybe it was something with eyesight. We'll leave that as it may. I believe it was an infirmity that kind of caused him a little humiliation. Lest I should be exalted above measure. I believe he just, it's something that he really wished it could be gone so people didn't have to see it. He would have loved to have it removed. What was Paul's response to the trial? I'd like to think about us today. What is our response to the trial? When we face trials in life, how should we respond? And there's this one thing that Paul does. In verse 8, this thing I besought the Lord thrice. I find prayer as very important. When you go through a trial in life, to change it from the negative outlook to the positive, we look to God and we look to Him in prayer. That's a big changing point in my life, and I trust it can be in your life. When you face trials in life, take it to the Lord in prayer. Probably one of the things we fail so many times in doing. Or maybe we are just one of those that takes it to the Lord once and says, here's where it is, and then we just deal with it. I find it interesting. Paul said three times, besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from him. I believe he prayed earnestly and he prayed repeatedly for the Lord to take it away, to remove this trial. What do we need to remove our trials today? I think one of the very foundational points for us is to go to God and lay it at His feet. Why didn't Jonah do that? When he's faced with Nineveh, why didn't he go to prayer and say, God, that's a hard call that you've called me to. My flesh rebels against it. It feels like a thorn in the flesh to me. Why do you want me to go there, Lord? God would have answered, I do believe so. Instead, he chose to run away like we had looked at before. Today, our response can be the same thing. We just plunge into life and we will deal with it whatever way we can. Instead, we're taking it to the Lord in prayer. You see where God's help comes from to Apostle Paul. It is the grace that's sufficient, that sufficient grace. As he called out to the Lord in prayer, that's God's response to the prayer. It's sufficient grace. God has sufficient, adequate strength. In the past, he has been faithful. In the present, he can be faithful. And in the future, he will be faithful. Too many times in life, as we face circumstances and trials, we face the wail and we say, I'm just going to run for myself. We're going to run from the trial. We're not going to face it. And God will have to work in our lives to bring us to that. So what is a hindrance? And I have a few points I'd like to look at. One main point under this, but I want to branch into that point a little more. What was missing in Jonah's experience? And as I look at my own life, what am I missing so many times in my life that I continue to dwell on the negative and fail to see the positive? Why do I so many times relate to life like Jonah does and not like Paul when I have some trials? Why do I find it hard to take 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, the last part, most gladly therefore would I rather glory in my infirmities. Why do I find that so hard? And here's the one I believe that's there. The difference between the two, a hindrance to our thankfulness today, is self. Self blocks us to the positive, and we only see the negative that happens to us. When we try to protect ourselves, when life revolves around myself, and I'm just here to please my flesh, it's going to put a block in our relationship with Jesus Christ. It puts a block in our mind to see God's will and working out in our life. It's a block that we don't see God and view God for who he is and what he is doing and his big plan he has for us. Self. So the first point I have under this hindrance to thankfulness as we think of self, and this is the first one. Self produces a block in our relationship with Jesus. When we live for self, well, remember at your conversion experience, remember when you gave your life to Christ, you give up of self. And if you don't give up of self, God can't use you. It takes a giving up of self. And so may God help us to do that all through our life. What else does self produce? Self produces narrow-minded thinking. I. Self only thinks of one letter, and that's I. I deserve better. I don't deserve this, God, for you to save Nineveh because I cried against it just like you said I should do, and I went into there. I did everything you told me to. Now I want to see I want to please self. I want to see this carried out in this city. And the gourd comes up. Things about them even start coming up that we don't even deserve. That God gives as a shelter for us and as a something for us to enjoy. And somehow this narrow-minded thinking says, I deserve that too. We start to question God in that narrow-minded thinking. And we forget that life is so much more than I. Life is so much more than the narrow-minded thinking of I. And we should see God and His will for our lives and the big picture He's trying to paint of our lives. We must see that. It's a hindrance to thankfulness when we hold the big eye too close to us. What else does self produce in our lives? The third one, it produces an unwillingness to serve. Unwillingness to serve. Unwilling to be used of God. Self says, it's my agenda. And maybe this ties pretty closely, but I believe with the last point, but I believe there's something more here. As we think about the I needs to go beyond that, but it's a willingness, needs to be a willingness to serve, to give up my agenda. You see, self, when we look for self, we start saying it's my agenda or no agenda. Must not be that way. What is God's agenda? What does God want me to do? As Jonah, we should say, Lord, what wilt thou have, or as the scripture says, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Jonah should have that same approach to life. And you and I need that same approach. Lord, what would you have me to do? Willing to be used? I trust we are. Wherever the Lord calls us, whether it's to talk to that searching individual on the street, or whether it's to go hand out tracts, or whether it's to do the mundane duties that nobody seems to notice. Why do we do it? Because we're willing to serve. If we find ourselves struggling with that, we need to check ourselves. Is self hindering my willingness to serve? Is it standing in the way? The fourth one. Self produces a sense of entitlement. A sense of entitlement. This is my life. I deserve it. You don't have to go through life very long and you find out that this can be one that can affect us in many different ways. We deserve better. Jonah had that response, kind of, as you think about his life. I don't deserve this, God. I deserve better than this. And how was his response to it? His response was often the same way you and I respond. Anger and disappointment. Jonah is angry against God. His disappointment has got to the point where he says, just take my life. It's worthless to live anymore. What was Jonah saying in that? In his sense of entitlement, he's saying, if I can't have my way, just do away with me. Get rid of me. Ultimately, he is saying, what I want is the only thing that is important. Now you look at these four that I have given. If you let any one of them take root in your life, my question to you is, can you have a happy life? Can you see Thanksgiving come forth from your life? I don't believe so. You will view life as negative, and you will struggle all through life. I ran across this quote. Entitlement and self-absorption are massive impediments to gratitude. You will certainly not feel grateful when you do receive what you think you have coming, because after all, you have it coming. Counting blessings will be ineffective because grievances will always outnumber gifts. When you don't have that sense of entitlement, how easy is it to tell somebody thank you for a gift they give to you? I think it's something that needs to go with it. We may say the words thank you, but do you really feel thankful unless you take care of the self and the sense of entitlement that comes there? We must get rid of self. We must take care of self in our life. Can you, as Jonah, when you are in that trial, when you are in that place where God has you, as you are working through maybe some trial in your life, for Jonah it was working through the trial that God had asked him to go to Nineveh. He was in that fish's belly, and he was thankful. Jonah chapter 2, verse 9, he said, I'm thankful. I will pay sacrifice. I will pay my vows. There was nothing in Jonah in that prayer right there that said that, you know what, I'm going to keep self. There was nothing in that prayer that says, I'm going to keep myself protected. Instead, it was a prayer that said, I'm going to give up of self. God, I'm going to give to you. And he gave up of self there. He admitted where his salvation comes from. I'll pay my vows. I'll stay true to my vows even when the times get tough. I'm going to just follow you through life, God. I'm going to just follow you and your commands to me, your journey you have for me. The book of Jonah had stopped there, but it didn't. As he went and cried to the people, he has just wrote out one experience of when he's a thankful person. He had wrote out one experience of when God had worked in his life and he had saved him from a drowning, and he could thank God in that belly there, that fish. And he followed God's call. He was willing to go to Nineveh. And he faced that. Why did he struggle with thankfulness again? Why did he seem to struggle when the next trial came his way? When he should have been so thankful that the people had given their hearts to the Lord and repented. One time he was on the top, the next he was on the bottom. Think about the children of Israel. Children of Israel, as they journeyed to the promised land, they had many times you Bible readers know. They followed that. There's times when they were on top, praising God for the victory, the joyous victory. Today in Sunday schools, they crossed the river there. A miraculous. They're on top of it. But there's times where they're up and complaining about it. And in the wilderness, they complained about Moses and Aaron. Was it actually Moses and Aaron? No. God was leading. God was just using Moses and Aaron. Why are we so often like that? Do you think about Thanksgiving? 1621, people made the journey to America. The first crop they had produced well. They had trials in life, though. They pulled their resources together, had a big feast. They were thankful people. There was 90 Native Americans, 53 pilgrims. They were thankful people. Because they viewed God working through their life and the blessings that He has given to them. They didn't dwell on the negatives that they had. There was some there. 1861, during the Civil War, a time when many lives were lost, Lincoln proclaimed a national day of Thanksgiving to be celebrated. Was there negatives there? There sure was. President Lincoln, I believe, saw that we as people need to learn to be thankful. We need to look past circumstances and view things to be thankful for. As Christians today, we too need to look past the trials of life. Look past them and see God doing a plan in our lives. Not just during Thanksgiving time, but always through our life. And when God leads us, whether it's inside of a fish or outside of a fish, or whether it's as Daniel in a lion's den or out of a lion's den, we didn't read that account. Daniel was thankful. My God has sent His angel and has shut the lion's mouth, that they have not hurt me. Thankful to God for delivering him. Brothers and sisters, today, we have much to be thankful for. Yes, that whole list that we come up with of things we just know that we're thankful for, that we need to be thankful for, that we are blessed with. But my challenge this morning, and I want you to take it through this coming time, can I be thankful? Am I a thankful person? Have I given up of self as I ought to? Am I thankful even when times are tough, when times are not as joyous as we want to? Maybe when we have that thorn in the flesh that's buffeting me. Am I thankful then? First Thessalonians 5:18. I shared it in the start of this message. I'm going to share it in closing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Everything, give thanks. May God bless us, that we would be a thankful people no matter what comes our way. Let's kneel for prayer.